Welcome to Indie Audio, the audio version of The Independent. To listen to past episodes of Indie Audio and of the podcast Indestructible, go to independent.org. That's independent.org. If you like what you hear, please help support The Independent by going to our webpage and donating or becoming a subscriber. Stay tuned till the end where you can hear Stephen Wishnia talk about how he put together the article.
This is Steve Wishnan, and this is an article from the March issue of The Independent titled Free Riders. In a case that could have dire consequences for public unions, the Supreme Court weighs giving dues dodgers a pass. This spring, the Supreme Court is likely to rule that public sector unions must represent workers who refuse to pay them anything. That could have intense consequences in New York State, where more than 70% of public sector workers are union members. The court heard oral arguments on February 26th in the case of Janice versus Ask Me Councils 31. Illinois state worker Mark Janice, backed by an array of far-right legal organizations, contends that having to pay a fee to American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, Council 31, violates his free speech rights because it forces to give money to an organization he disagrees with. Under current law, unions are required to represent all employees in a workplace, but those workers cannot be required to join the union. To balance that contradiction, the Supreme Court ruled in 1977, in Abood versus Detroit Board of Education, that workers could opt out of paying full dues, typically 1 or 2% of their annual salary, and instead pay an agency fee or a fair share fee. Those fees, typically 70 to 80% of full dues, cover the union's bargaining and administrative costs, but exclude its political activities. Janice's lawyers argue that he shouldn't have to pay anything. They claim that all activity by public sector unions is political advocacy, arguing that asking for a raise or smaller class sizes is lobbying the government for taxpayers' money. William L. Messenger of the National Right to Work Legal Defense Foundation, representing Janice, called agency fees effectively a form of protection money. Unions argue that agency fees are simple fairness and that anti-union forces are using pretextual arguments to destroy workers' bargaining power. If Mark Janice doesn't want to pay the fees, United University Professions President Fred Cole says, then if he's going to be a responsible adult, he won't take the benefits and protections of the union. What he wants is both ways. He wants to be a free rider. The idea that public sector unions, everything we do is political, is just flat out untrue, he continued. When we're defending someone who's up on disciplinary charges or has a grievance, those are not political issues. The case did not grow from an organic grassroots challenge to union representation, the Economic Policy Institute wrote in a report released February 21st. It has been backed by a small group of foundations whose funders include the Koch brothers and the DeVos family. They finance numerous litigation and policy advocacy groups that try to impede union activity, particularly in the public sector. The court is almost certain to rule against the unions. 2 years ago, it deadlocked 4-4 on virtually identical arguments in Friedrichs versus California Teachers Association after Justice Antonin Scalia's death eliminated the fifth vote to overturn Abood. Scalia's replacement, Neil Gorsuch, argued as a lower court judge that a truck driver was justifiably fired for abandoning a disabled trailer after he drove off rather than freeze to death waiting for help to come. Justice Anthony Kennedy, the usual swing vote between the court's liberal and far-right blocs, was openly antagonistic to the union arguments. He called agency fees, quote, compelled justification and compelled subsidization of a private party. So if the Supreme Court outlaws fair share fees, will unions' fate be more like those in Wisconsin, where membership declined by one-third after Governor Scott Walker's 2011 laws choking public sector collective bargaining and the 2015 law banning the union shop, or like Iowa? In Iowa, state law bans fair share fees, and only 29% of the workers represented by Ask Me Iowa Council 61 pay to support the union. yet it's also a defensive organizing success story. Last year, after Governor Terry Branstad signed a law requiring public sector unions to win recertification periodically, with a majority of all workers, not just the ones who voted, the unions won in 93% of bargaining units, with barely 2% of workers voting no. They realized they had to organize intensely after the law was enacted. Iowa State Education Association President Tammy Warrow told Labor Press last November. New York State has the highest proportion of union labor in the nation, with about 24% of all workers union members, 72% in the public sector. The New York City trade union movement, in my view, is now the epicenter of defense for working people across this whole country. If the Koch brothers can beat us in New York City, then they're going to beat us everywhere, Transport Workers Union President John Samuelson said at a February 24th rally in Foley Square. We must hold the line here, and I think we will. We are organizing, 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 and it's working, Barbara Bowen, president of the Professional Staff Congress, which represents 30,000 City of University of New York faculty and staff, told The Independent. Wisconsin's unions were taken by surprise in 2011, she says, but with this case, quote, there's been much more time to prepare, unquote. The PSC has also been asking current members to sign recommitment cards, asking fee payers to join the union, and having, quote, one-on-one member-to-member conversations for months and months, she says. New York's large public sector unions, including the 125,000-member District Council 37 and the United Federation of Teachers, have also embarked on internal organizing campaigns. We're trying to talk to every member we have, says Mary E. Sullivan, executive vice president of the 300,000-member Civil Service Employees Association. We are talking to the people who are fee payers now to ask them to join us and stay with the union. Several union leaders say that most workers who pay agency fees aren't union opponents dragooned into it, but people who just assumed they were already members. At CUNY, says Barbara Bowen, many staff, particularly adjunct professors, thought they were automatically members because fees were deducted from their paychecks and they went to union rallies. About 30% of the workers that DC 37 represents weren't formally enrolled in the union, says Treasurer Maaf Misbahuddin, but because we were alerted on this, the last few years we have been going member to member, agency to agency, department to department. He sees the specter of Janus as a signal that unions must change. Labor leaders have to go to the membership in the community, in the locality, he says. If people haven't joined, it is only because we, the leaders, have not been able to convince them, explain to them, and show them the difference between the union member and the non-union member.
Is there anything you would like to add on sort of how you put together this article, or?
I guess, well, this came from two different events, primarily. One was the rally in Foley Square on February 24th, a unions, mostly public sector, but with a contingent from the Spectrum Strikers.
Mm-hmm.
Came out.
What are the Spectrum Strikers?
Spectrum Cable TV. The workers there have been on strike for 11 months because the company that took over, that bought Spectrum, the company that bought that cable system from Time Warner a few years ago, wants to eliminate their health care, eliminate their retirement benefits. So they've been out on strike. And then the second was actually went down to the Supreme Court February 26th to cover the oral arguments in the court and the demonstrations outside.
Got it.
About 500 people who were pro-union and about 100 people who were fairly clearly AstroTurf. They were from Americans for Prosperity, which is the Koch brothers organization. It's
right.
Sort of like the grassroots arm of the Koch brothers. And State Policy Network, which is a relatively little-known network of policy and advocacy groups that concentrate on state policy and is very much concerned with trying to weaken public sector unions. Also things like repealing prevailing wage for construction workers on public projects, laws banning the union shop. A lot of these things are pensions. A lot of these things come out of this network. So it was about 500 to 100. But the anti-union people had signs that said stand with workers. They were casting this as an issue of worker freedom, but it's really about busting unions, which it's the freedom to work for less, basically. Or you think you could get more for yourself, so you're going to condemn the people you work with to work for less.
Mm-hmm. That was the Indie Audio, the audio version of The Independent, produced by Elia Grant.